This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Azeem Aleem, who's a Vice President at NTT Security.
Hey, Ian. I'm here with 500 of our consultants attending the NTT University. So can't be more proud than this. I am new to the business. Between 3 and 4 months, I've been with NTT Security. I'm leading the consulting services across EMEA, and I'm a country head for UK and Ireland. Before NTT Security, I was working for RSA, and I spent a long time with them, around 6 years. I was leading their advanced cyber defense practice that helped RSA mitigate the breach in 2011-2012. We used to provide custom threat intel, incident response, and advanced cyber defense services to RSA customers. I was a global head, so traveled all across the world, have seen some dark side of the world, from Lebanon to Israel to Saudi to Sierra Leone to Russia. I've seen some of the nation-state actors, how they're attacking the industrial control systems, how they're penetrating to the financial sector. It was the passion of understanding how different attack adversaries are attacking with the same kind of pattern with different execution style, and trying to map their behavior classification of cyber criminals. It's been great with RSA, and then I thought I'll come here and develop the same thing that we've done in previous companies as well. Entity as a whole is very different. The depth of the expertise they have, the experience they have, the portfolio they have just attracted me towards them.
One of the things we talk about in this industry to customers is actionable intelligence. The problem for most customers is they're not really quite sure what that means, and they're not sure what sort of action they're supposed to take when they get the so-called intelligence. What do we mean by actionable intelligence?
It's a great question, and it's something that I write quite a lot, and I'm quite passionate about this topic, because as an industry, we are kind of rotating in what I call a dizzying whirlpool of reality. Everyone has a perception. This is an era where we are overwhelmed by intelligence. It's not the point of we can't get intelligence. Search Google, there are about 1,500 to 1,600 companies providing you threat intel. The issue is we are now overwhelmed by the intelligence. And what I call the actionable intelligence. Now, the question is, what is actionable intelligence? You see the buzzword everywhere. Actionable intelligence is you take the intelligence as a whole and you refine it to your domain. When I say you refine it to your domain, it means what is specific to you which needs to be tailored into it, which means you start proactively analyzing the intelligence and seeing that these are the things that are specific to my domain, specific to my environment. These are the patterns I need to be looking into that helps you to proactively preempt an advanced attack.
How does a customer begin to filter all of that intelligence they get from yourself and other vendors and understand what is really viable for them? They might be a manufacturing company, they might be a chemical company, but their domains are vastly different. Their internal skill levels are vastly different, and their understanding of why this piece of intelligence means I have to change something I do or be more aware, again, will be vastly different depending on the size of the company. What do they do to filter this vast pool of information?
It's a process, and we'll explain the process as we go through it. But before the process, you said how your company, other companies can help into that as well. We provide services to the customers in this area of threat intelligence, actionable intelligence. Gartner is saying by 2020, we will have more than 25 or 30 billion devices connected all around. Huge threat landscape is building up. It's also saying the digital transformation will outpace the company's security services or cybersecurity services. So they'll have to go outside to pure play cybersecurity companies to seek assistance. That's where these companies come in. Us as a whole, Entity Inc., if we talk about as a group, we're tracking around world's 40% of the traffic, which means that we are able to deck or map the behavior classification of cyber criminals in a much better way than any other company, because we are tracking those patterns in that way. Our threat detection module within our GMSSP, the MSS option, is one of those areas which creates a niche value for the customers. But security is a process. It involves people, processes, and product. I can't sit down here and tell you, oh, no, it's just our threat detection module or the model will help. No, it's a process. Now, the question is, how do you define that process? The definition of the process starts from the prerequisites, what you're trying to achieve. What we see from a consulting point of view, the acceptance is not still there that I will be hacked. You will be hacked, and you need to understand what objectives are. You need to map what your crown jewels are so that you know if they are attacked, how do I mitigate the effect. Also, minimize the breach exposure time. The time the criminal is in your network to the time the data goes out is the time that you need to play around. Your motivation objective should be that this is where I'm aiming for. I divide this into define the dwell time. What are you achieving? Segregation of duties. You look into what your organization is doing. Looking into can we develop actionable intelligence or we have to seek out everything from the outside. Just depend upon them because we can't do that. If you can develop it, then you need to follow a process. The baseline needs to be that you can be breached and then defining the dwell time, looking into your crown jewels and moving forward from that.
I'm sitting in a network center at a customer. And I get an alert saying there's an attack looking to target manufacturers. I know we have a couple of remote sites where we're sending information down to CNC machines and other things. How do I take that information from yourselves and turn that into a set of actions at my end that not just harden my security, but make sure that I have prevented that attack that you've warned me you're seeing so that I can say, yep, information in, action taken, everything secure?
Very good question. First of all, alerts. I might stir the industry up. Alerts are not intelligence. Alerts are just feeds coming from different companies, from us as well, going to you. And we cannot take that in their raw form as intelligence. In the actionable intelligence, you always find intelligence people say, we have to target the TTPs, tactics, tools, and procedures, or the process of the adversaries. There is a process to develop the TTPs. You can't just have IOCs, indicator of compromise, and then say, well, you have it. Indicator of compromise feeds into the process, but you need to map it to the level that you can understand what tactics the adversaries are using, what tools they're using, what procedures and process they're using, or what protocol they're using to move forward. And for that, there needs to be defined a framework. I call that framework 3 R's, readiness, response, and resilience. Readiness is you jump into the organization and you say, okay, what is readiness? Have you got that mechanism of readiness? I'm talking from the point organization said, okay, I want to develop the actionable intelligence framework. First of all, the first domain is to target is readiness, which is called as a prevention domain. Readiness, you should be able to proactively preempt these advanced attacks. They're not coming from a signature-based attack. Most are coming as a zero-day attack or targeted attack towards your environment. Now, readiness has to have different domains to look into it. I divide into a couple of domains. I just recently wrote a blog on that as well. First is the business aspect to it, business and organizational direction. That's where we try to look into whether your business and security is aligned in the organization. Many times security is considered as a hindrance. You go into the organization, they are all siloed away. Whether they are aligned as well, whether there is a top management support onto that as well. Then you look into what I call a domain of visibility. You need to have end-to-end visibility, and that's where the tools comes in as well. You need to start mapping in a tool structure. We talked today about cyber kill chain as well, the de facto standard, but in the tools as well, you need to start mapping whether your tools are targeting each stage of the cyber kill chain for your environment. So that's one easy way to do that. You need to have a visibility from end-to-end in your network, from network flows to the endpoints, to the whole network of what is happening. That's very important, because otherwise, if you don't know what is happening in your network, we talked about yesterday about the cloud aspect. If you don't know what is happening in your network, you can't do anything. Then you move from the visibility into content. Content analytics, I'd say, is the heart of the readiness stage. The content intelligence or content analytics is about how do you fine-tune your product to filter the white noise, the alert fatigue, and give you what you call a tangible intelligence that feeds back into your mechanism. To develop that, there's a process. I mean, many organizations, you go, let's say I'm going in March to RSA conference, you'll have 50,000 people there attending, products, vendors, everybody. But the thing is, for organization who buy the product, what they forget is the product is as good as you fine-tune the product. And no product will give you 100% security. You need to fine-tailor that into your environment. That's where what I call content analytics comes in. It's just one example, use cases deployments. How do you define a use case which is specific to your environment? You'll see a big buzzword around use cases, but there's a process to it. I developed open framework with my colleagues in RSA, which is published as well, of how to define use cases. It's a simple formula. You define the use cases through a series of steps. From the attack trees, you make it to the attack scenarios. And from attack scenarios, you embed that into the use cases. And then use cases are fine-tuned into product. And then you test it out. Companies are doing that. This is not a crown jewel secret, but it's not the iterative process. Once you implement the use case, you need to see whether it is filtering the white noise. An example is if you're tracking about 50,000 events per hour, 210 security incidents per day, how you're achieving that is because you're filtering the white noise in a way that is allowing you to track 110 security incidents per day. That's where the company needs to be focusing on in terms of content analytics. Whenever we go into organization who are saying develop actionable intelligence for us, they seem to lack the process in how to fine-tune the product. From the content, we move into whether you have the ability to respond to the threat. That's where your incident response capability comes in. And again, we are still developing the baseline at the moment. Incident response is whether you have the proactive measures and whether you have the reactive measures as well, because you will not have all of them together.
One of the challenges for organizations is they hear the word proactive. But the truth is, this is an industry that isn't proactive. It's an industry that waits till something happens and then runs around to deal with it. How do we shift not just the focus of security teams to understand what they have to do to have that map of their environment, to be proactive, to be able to anticipate risk, but at the same time provide the C-suite with the information that they need to make that investment? Because at the moment, when I look at so many of the surveys that come into me, the C-suite simply see security as a cost and a big black hole into which they pour money. They don't understand that there's an investment in being proactive that will mean a lot of money saved at the end of the day, because you won't get attacks. You will have stopped them before they even happen.
Security is not tangible, and that's where the problem is. When you're investing, you're pouring in the money, you don't see any kind of tangible benefit. You start questioning whether the money I'm giving you is working into it. Do you wait till you get hacked or develop some mechanism which allows you to identify that your security is working? That's where, again, the point comes in, is about KPIs, key performance metrics, into the base framework is how do you define that your security is working? The companies, when they start investing into the product, people and procedures, they need to define the core KPIs, and they need to track those KPIs every month, quarter and year as well, to give that perception back to C-suite. Yeah, we've not been hacked, but this is what we're doing. That's where the question is how to change yourself from reactive to proactive, because when you have KPIs to look into what I'm tracking, what threats I've looked into it, which threats managed to pass my defenses, did I manage to develop a TTP based on their behavior, which feeds back into my actionable intelligence framework, then I can go back to them saying, look, this is what is happening. So KPI is one of the big core domain that people neglect. That's why we become more reactive, because we don't have the background metrics to evaluate what we're doing.
But having those KPIs and then evidencing is not so simple. Got a slightly different intelligence domain, that of anti-terror. If the public see a terror attack occur and then a reaction, they understand what's happened. When intelligence services say, oh, you didn't see this, but we've stopped 100 attacks, everybody sits around and says, well, really? There's that moment of disbelief because they don't really understand and they have no visibility. When we translate that into the enterprise, there has to be that point where people can evidence to the board that our proactive actions really did prevent these attacks. Otherwise, there's nothing for the board to believe. How do we shift that conversation?
If you've seen in my presentation, I call the word intelligence-driven security. And people start questioning, what is intelligence-driven security? We need to map the business operation sites and the security sites together in one domain. Okay, they can have different reporting lines, but as you said, the same thing as well, whether we should believe that you guys have done it. How do you do that? Because you start attaching the business implication with it. If I go to C-suite, I say, my team has stopped 25 denial of service attack in the last 5 months. C-suite is saying, I don't care. But if you attach the denial of service attack with the implication cost of the business that you stopped, it makes a story. It makes everybody saying, yeah, I stopped denial of service attack, which was about to impact this operation. And as we are an online retail business, we have managed to save ourselves from this kind of financial aspect as well. That makes end-to-end story. You have all the stakeholders on site thinking about it.
But that's a level of reporting that IT security doesn't currently do. How do we provide them with the tools, or more importantly, the templates on how to record this data and present it to the board?
And that's where I said we've developed a dizzying whirlpool of reality. We've created that hype, which is right as well to one extent, but still has become a hype for a common person because he doesn't understand what you're saying. I don't think so there should be a tools made into this, but the notion is that we need to start defining what is the security cost and how do you attach that to the business risk as well. Then from there, what are the business implication costs as well? The key performance metrics developed with the business domains of the organization as well is very important. And it comes back to the same thing which I said, what are your crown jewels? If you don't know what your crown jewels are, you cannot proactively hunt these adversaries because you will be acting as a headless chicken for every attack you are facing.
Which again raises actionable intelligence, doesn't it? If you're sitting in a security center and you get a notification from your security partner that, hey, we've seen this attack starting to build, we're looking at your network, you need to do steps A, B, C, D, E. That's a very easy thing to distribute across your team. But the security partner says, we've been tracking an attack in Asia. And it appears that people are targeting the intellectual property of a chemical company, and this is what your company does. You need to start looking at what your policies are to protect against the following types of attack. That's much more woolly to the company. It's not a step of actions to take. They've themselves got to do a set of interpretation on it. We need to shift people's understanding of the two. One they can do quickly, the other requires more work and knowledge. How do we get to shifting their understanding and their capabilities to be able to understand this may hit you because it's been seen elsewhere?
Again, it's companies' recognition is what they can do and what they can't do. Some organizations can say, okay, well, we have our own capability in-house, so we will take resources from our pure-play cybersecurity companies, entity security in that way, and get the MSS services in, but we will triage the advanced attack ourselves. If they have the thing, then they need to develop that pattern. But many companies say, well, we don't have any kind of mechanism. We need to outsource everything to our security organization, and they will do it. That's where you define the SLAs of what needs to be done when you identify that there is an advanced attack happening. For example, WannaCry. Many of our customers were concerned about WannaCry. We were able to give them exactly what needs to be done, what parameters needs to be secured, and how to do that. And we had our consultants on the call with them to take them through the stage, because there was an SLA between us and them to how to respond to it. Coming back to the second question is how organizations who are saying that they'll do it themselves with assistance from other organizations, how they're doing it. Well, that's where the threat intel team needs to be what I call having a hunting domain or a hunting capability, or what I call you need to let them loose. Mm-hmm. You need to make them become a hunter and accept that they'll make mistakes. When I say that, they are continuously hunting for these threats. When we or any other company send them, okay, this is what is happening, they know that there is a domain out there and there is an adversary pattern that is impacting that domain. They're already investigating in that element and they are chipping back to their security team saying, yeah, we had a resource from our outsourcing partner and we think these are the steps that needs to be followed. That's where the reactiveness will come and they become more proactive. I've seen in many organizations, we don't accept mistakes in organizations, and that's where the hunting team is restricted. You have to let them loose, and they will come back with mistakes, but they will also come back with some things which will allow you to develop TDPs. Next time, you know, you need to think about how criminals work. And crime follows opportunity. I've done a lot of work in the criminology element. I'm attacking you, and you are observing my tactics. Next time I attack you, you already know how my tool will work. You will start fine-tuning your environment. That means my tool will not work in that way. So I will get the irritation back that my tool is not working in that way. I have to change my tool. That means you're taking the fight back to them, and that takes time for them to fine-tune or to alter their product. And that is where you want to aim for it, is to take the fight back to them saying, well, yeah, I know how this tool is working. If you want to enter into it, you need to alter your tool. And that's costs and where we need to go towards through our hunting team as well.
For a customer, hunting team's a very expensive thing to put together. And that assumes they can find the people to begin with. So in order to assist customers, there requires here either they outsource to you, and the danger of that is that when customers outsource security, there seems to be an assumption that they've outsourced responsibility at the same time. But more importantly, where they've got tools in-house, how much time is spent in that early engagement trying to align the in-house tools with the tools that you use? So to take your example just now, they've observed an attack and you're going to be able to defeat it next time. But if you've done the observing because you're doing the hunting, you need to actually be able to connect to their tools, change the rules on the firewall, change the rules on various servers they've got to defeat the attack. That level of integration is not a simple thing to achieve.
It is not, and I can't sit down here and say, oh no, we have a magic sauce here. We have a secret sauce, because 40% of the internet world traffic, tracking from there, we are developing a secret sauce. Then we can be proud to say that we are the leaders, because no other company has that bandwidth or the backbone of 40% internet traffic tracking. That means we can give them more behavior classification of the criminal than any other company. There's a process to it. For example, we sell what we call incident response retainer service. Companies buy the retainer and they say, okay, well, the retainer is like an insurance policy for us for a year. If in that 1 year we've been hacked, we have the assurance that we'll be there within the next couple of hours with foot on ground and investigating the cyber attack. But for that to happen, as you said, is how do you integrate or develop that merging between your technology and their technology? We assess the environment of the customers beforehand. We don't wait for them to get breached and to call us. When the customer is buying services from us, from our threat detection team, from our threat intelligence team, we are going and what we're doing is a health check for the environment and trying to see what the loopholes are there. So we already have a baseline identification of all our customers. What we're doing is not like waiting for them to get breached and call us. We are doing quarterly health check in the same kind of services. So we see if their patterns change, if they've developed more cloud environment. We know that. Because at the end of the day, you've got to understand, one customer gets breached who's having our services, and we don't provide them proactive services, next time they won't come to us. So it's our reputation at stake. With that, it is very, very important for us to quarterly review the environment of the customer and to make sure that we have the capability to help them and assist them through the breach. And I think customers are quite good as well in that way. They accept the fact sometime if the breach happens, things will become all messy and there won't be any structural process at the time because no one knows the extent of the threat. But at least they know that the merging of technology and the services are already mapped out. You're right, that's where the problem comes in. Those companies who don't go towards the companies like us and others around retainer and incident response capability, when they're breached, they call us, the mechanism is different because we don't know the environment. Yes, we'll help them, it takes a long time. That's where the proactiveness comes in as well. And again, coming back to my first statement, you will get breached. The acceptance of that will take you towards this different partners, they're seeking out different services to allow you that capacity that will minimize the breach exposure time.
I think it will be interesting to see how many companies start to move to proactive rather than reactive for the next couple of years. Azeem, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. It's been great being here. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to speaking to you again.